Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Baby, do you like...
What was your favorite scene?
Yeah, Manuel Ferreira. We finished f***ing, and then for like 20 minutes afterwards, we just held each other and I was crying.
Crying?
Yeah. The release was just so intense.
Really?
Yeah.
Crying?
Crying.
What did he do right?
Everything.
You're there getting really
turned
on. I'm
getting like,
on.
I'm edging.
And homie edging. Is just right there
ready.
Now we're going to do a segment where we're going to give the people some advice and pointers.
Okay, if you're f***ing a girl and all you're thinking about is the sensation of her pussy on your dick, you have no idea what's going on. You're just in your head thinking about the feeling. You need to be like looking at her, looking in her eyes, trying to feel what she's feeling.
Tell me about your most interesting shoots. That one time you went to Japan.
I love Japanese men. Put Q-tips in my asshole. I really wanted to do tentacle. Like desperately getting violated by the tentacles.
The world's opening back up. We're gonna make a trip back to Japan. When they make fleshlights out of vagina, how do they accurately?
I'm so glad you asked.
Mold it. We are here with a 3-time AVN Performer of the Year, Angela White.
Hi.
How are you doing? We're at a party. How would you introduce yourself?
I would literally just say, hi, my name's Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you, Angela.
Yeah.
How was your week?
Amazing. I just got back from Exotica.
Oh, right. Let's talk about that.
Miami Exotica.
How was Exotica?
It was pretty wild.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was it better than the Chicago one?
Well, I don't want to say it was better because I met you in Chicago Exotica, so... You can't really compare.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah.
No, that's true.
But I did have a lot of fun in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami is always a good time, right?
Miami was a lot of fun.
Any stories?
I came a couple of days earlier so that I could chill out on the beach and shoot a little bit. And I went jet skiing for the first time.
Okay.
Which was awesome.
Oh, for the first time?
I know.
Wow.
I know. Well, I've done it now. I loved it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Rode bikes down South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of fun.
Some nice wholesome activities.
Yeah, very wholesome activities.
Any unwholesome activities?
I mean, so the first day I arrive at my hotel, I go down to the restaurant to get some coffee, and I make friends with the server.
Ah.
And we end up just hanging out in Miami the entire time until Exotica started, and then I was
Right. You guys set it off?
Yeah, we did.
Nice. What's been like your favorite like porn convention?
I love AVN.
AVN?
Yeah, in Vegas. That's just
right. So,
crazy.
So when you won your first award, right? Mm-hmm. How do they even grade you on like what are the merits that grade you on like okay, you are the Performer of the Year?
Well, for Performer of the Year, it's about body of work.
Okay.
So you have to show that you're a great performer in all categories.
Right.
So from romantic, feature-based work through to hardcore gonzo.
Okay.
So it's not just about being the most hardcore performer. You really have to have range. You have to show that you're a good actor, that you're great at connecting with your on-scene partners, that you can do one-on-one scenes well, that you can do group scenes well. So you have to have a great range.
Resume.
And the body of work is also the amount you've worked as well. It's not just, you do 10 amazing scenes throughout the year.
Right.
You really need to work with all of the companies, shoot as much as you can. It's not just about, it's not just quantity, it's also quality, but it's really that full breadth.
I see. When was the first year that you won?
It was, I should know this, it was 2018.
2018?
Yep,
2018. That was the first year?
Yes, correct.
And then you did like a three-peat?
Three-peat,
holy
shit.
2018,
2019, 2020. And that's the first time that's ever been, that's the only time it's ever been done, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your first year, 2018, is when you won the AVN. And take me through that moment. What was there, what was it like?
It was a really crazy night, actually, because that year I was also hosting the AVN Awards, and I was so sick. No, I was sick. Oh. I was literally sick. I got so sick around a week beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, I was losing my voice. I couldn't get out of bed. And hosting the AVN Awards is a huge deal. It's like hosting the Oscars. Like, you can't... You have to...
You got top of... You got to be sharp. You got to be there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't...
So, I was like... pumping myself full of vitamins, trying to sleep as much as I could just so that I could get on stage. But in the lead up to the AVN Awards is the convention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 4 days of signing for the fans.
Right.
And I had commitments, like I had to appear,
yeah.
but I couldn't speak because I was saving my voice for the AVN Awards. And I was also so ill. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? So I did the bare minimum of turning up to the convention to show my face and make good on my commitments, and then literally was not speaking all the way up until the AVN Awards so I could have enough voice to actually host. So I'm sick. It's such a drain on my body.
Right.
I'm so nervous because I want to do an amazing job. There's a lot riding on this. I really did put my heart and soul into that full year's work. So I really do. I want to win desperately.
Who are the nominees?
The nominees. I don't remember. There's like 15, or there was at that point 15 nominees in the category. I believe now they've reduced it to 10.
I see.
So you're competing against 15 other performers.
Go listen to this episode on Spotify. The link will also be down below. Go check out the Fan House for early access to these podcasts, as well as extended cuts and a whole lot more. What gets me through these podcasts is Gamer Subs. My favorite drinks to drink. It's a nootropic, keeps you alert, focused. So if you guys want to try a free sample, click on the first link down below. Who was it at the time, if you remember?
My main competitor for that year was Lana Rhodes.
You beat out Lana Rhodes. Wow. Yeah. Do you know now, was there like backstage, was there any like beef? Was there any like...
I never have beef with my competitors.
Okay, okay.
For me, like when it comes to performance, I'm always performing and competing against myself.
Mm-hmm,
it's how can I do better? How can I outdo my last scene?
Right.
I'm like staying in my own lane and looking at what I've done in the past and how I can improve in the future.
Right.
When I moved to the United States, I had three things that I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to host the AVN Awards. I wanted to win AVN Female Performer of the Year. And I wanted to get into the AVN Hall of Fame. And that night, I did all three in one night. And I won the most awards of any performer has ever won in one night.
Oh, shit.
So it was...
What else did you win that night?
I won Best Boy-Girl Sex Scene, which is another really big category, which was for my scene with Manuel Ferreira, which most people know. It was like my cream pie scene.
Okay.
Very intimate, very intense scene. I believe I won Best Gangbang, Best DP. I won a lot of awards.
Wow.
And one of the awards, aside from Female Performer of the Year, that I was most proud of was actually Best Editing.
Best
Editing, because I edited my movie.
There's a
category for everything. So there's a category for Best Makeup.
Right.
Obviously, all the scene categories, like Best Boy Girl, Best Girl Girl, right. Best Girl Girl Group Sex Scene, Best Gang Bang, Best Blow Bang.
Yeah.
There's all these different categories, but then, you know, there's awards for... directors, producers, like Best Music.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I won Best Editing, which the reason I was so proud of myself is not many female performers are editing their own content, or at least they weren't back then. Now with OnlyFans, a lot of performers are also editing their content. I spent that whole summer in a dark room editing that movie, hearing, and the apartment that I was in was like overlooking the pool, so I could hear everybody enjoying summer in the pool, splashing in the pool, and I'm like in this dark room editing, and I just felt so validated to be like, yes, I didn't have a summer, but I was the best editor that year.
Oh, fuck yeah. So you have editing background as well.
I wouldn't
say. Is it awkward editing your own scene?
In the beginning, it was mortifying.
Right.
Absolutely mortifying to see the way your body moves and your orgasm face and just watching all the things that I'm very self-critical, which is why I'm good at what I do, because I'm always looking at myself and being like, you could do that better and trying to improve. So yeah, in the beginning, it was absolutely mortifying, but you get used to it.
Right. So it's like, so you look at yourself and like, oh, I could have made a better face.
The faces you can't really change.
Okay.
Because if you're genuinely in the moment and you're actually having an orgasm, you can't change that unless you're just going to move to just faking all your orgasms, which is kind of defeats the purpose of creating a product that's really authentic and genuine. So for me, the faces, you just have to get over it.
Yeah. So what do you think is the cues that you tell yourself to get better on?
So it might be the way I'm opening up to the camera. Like, oh, if I had moved my knee a little further forward, then they would have seen the penetration better. Or if I had looked back a little further, there would have been a better shot of my face. So just looking at the angles and how I'm positioning my body.
Right. It's almost like a... we're watching like a sports tape back. It's like, oh, if I angled my swing like 20 degrees here, I would have hit the home run.
Exactly.
Kind of like that. Do you think that that's what it took to get you to win the award? Or was it because you are so like self-analytical about each scene? Is that how you eventually improved on the scenes and gotten better?
Yeah, but I don't think that's everything. I think the most important thing is to be passionate about what you do.
Right.
100%. Right. You have to love sex. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
You have to genuinely want to connect with the scene partner. Mm-hmm. It can't just be about a check. You have to want to be there for the love of the craft to create a product that's really going to resonate with your fans. And there has to be a little bit of selfishness too. Like, you have to be wanting to enjoy yourself.
Because now you can't connect with every partner. Right.
Almost everyone.
Oh.
I can find a way. Yeah, it's very, very rare that I can't find a way.
Okay.
So it is a dance.
Uh-huh.
So my on-screen partner has to be willing to dance with me.
Right.
If my on-screen partner is a million miles away, thinking about the fight they just had with their off-screen partner, thinking about whatever it is.
Yeah.
But generally, you can bring them back into the present moment.
Okay.
With the right touch, with the right kind of eye contact, you can usually bring someone back.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't think of very many people, like even off the top of my head, I can't think of a performer that I'm like, oh, I wasn't able to make some sort of connection. Obviously, there's performers that I have far stronger connections with than others.
Right. So how does it like if you could take me through it?
Like connecting with a scene partner?
Yeah. Like from you know, the moment that you walk into the room, there's probably set up like this, right? And then it's, I mean, for regular people, that many people standing around, right? It could be kind of awkward,
right? Intimidating.
But intimidating, yeah. Right? Now, obviously, at this point, you're a lot more comfortable in that setting,
yes.
Right? So how would you connect with the partner? What would you say? What would the set the tone for me?
So for me, as soon as I walk on set, the foreplay begins. Although I will say that the female talent arrives first most of the time so that then they can get their makeup done. So there's around 2 hours of the female talent in the makeup chair before the male arrives.
We're shooting for Property 6.
Property 6?
Yes.
Well, Property 6 is a little different because I rock up with makeup already done. When I shot for Property 6, it was just me and the male talent.
That's it.
I came makeup ready, did my own makeup.
Wait, and he's holding the camera himself?
He's holding the camera, POV. Wow. So that's a bit different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, well, yeah.
Is Property 6? Is that your favorite scene of mine or something?
Those are up there.
You just went to Pornhub and you looked at my most popular scenes.
No, I didn't.
You did. Were like, which scenes have
Property 6, for me in general, I just like the POVs.
Oh, you like POVs?
Yeah, I love
why,
the POVs.
But why Property 6?
They're just nicely shot. I kind of like that dynamic. I like what they're wearing. I was like, okay. It's like kind of like a secretary, like a real estate kind of girl.
For mine, I did like... I mean, my one went kind of viral because I was kind of crazy in my scene. But but I wasn't the real estate agent in that one. I was the tenant, the crazy, horny tenant.
That's willing to do whatever it takes to get some discounts.
Yeah, well, actually, I thought my landlord was my Tinder date.
Oh.
And so there was a little bit of a...
attention.
A little bit of a miscommunication. Like, oh, you don't look like your picture, but I don't care. Come and fuck me.
Right. Take me through a regular...
Okay, so for a set where there's going to be more crew, so there might be...
Yeah.
There'll be a makeup artist, a photographer, a videographer. There's going to be a production assistant. That would be your regular set. There are obviously bigger sets than that smaller sets than that. Okay. So you're going to have at least 4 to 5 other people on set with you. When the male talent arrives, mm-hmm. that's for me when the foreplay begins. Mm-hmm. And also I will say it depends on the vibe that I have with the male talent,
okay.
and the kind of energy that I'm receiving from them.
Yeah.
If I start to flirt with them and I feel like, ooh, they don't really want to flirt. They just want to put their headphones in and be in like another room or whatever. Doesn't happen often, but that can happen.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, that's, I'm going to wait till we're actually on the set
right.
before I'm going to start the foreplay. If they're receptive, then, I mean, it depends. A lot of the male talent that I've been on set with, I've been on set with so many times. So
yeah.
we have a rapport. We have a friendship.
Gotcha.
I know about their life, so I'll ask them about what's been happening. And then mm-hmm. I'll just kind of tell them how excited I am to fuck them again.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe talk about, remember that last thing we did? You made me come so hard. I don't know. I just, wow. whatever. I mean, I'm going to set the mood. I'm going to be.
Hold on. Just your tone of voice. I felt that. Hold on, wait right. a second. I don't know if the people listening just felt that. Everybody right. thought they were getting fucked for a second. Okay. Right. So it turns on, like, is that called getting into character? Kind of, right? Because you got to get into, like, a sexual kind yeah. of character, but then you but might also not, have to get into, like, a role, too.
It's not
right?
as, yeah. So if there's no role that I'm uh-huh. playing, so I'm not acting in the scene, mm-hmm. then I don't have to get so much into a character. I just have to, like, get into my own sexual self.
Okay.
So I have to feel sexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Think about sexy things. Right. And get into that zone. Like, I think as a performer, you learn how to be able to switch that on and off mm-hmm. very easily.
Do you think regular people can learn how to do that?
Yeah, anyone can.
Right.
Anyone could learn how to do that.
But do you think sometimes that kind of energy could throw some people off, or do you think you haven't gotten down to a point where it's like, oh, I could turn anybody on? Like, has there been somebody that you did this with and they're like, oh, not yet, we're not there yet, you know?
No.
Okay. All right.
I mean we are on a planet, so everyone right. knows what we're here to do.
Yeah, they'll automatically go at your pace too.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think the female leads on mm-hmm. the set. So.
Oh, interesting.
Some female performers don't want the guys touching them until the camera rolls.
Right.
Like, it's just like, this is work. Don't touch me. Once the camera rolls, go for it.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. Mm-hmm. So for me, I want to be touched before the camera's rolling.
Right.
If that's appropriate, because obviously there's some mm-hmm. performers who are in relationships and they have certain boundaries. Like, you can touch the other performer once the camera rolls, not before. So everyone has different boundaries. So as long as their relationship outside of allows them to flirt and be yeah. touchy before the scene starts, I mean, for me, it makes a better scene.
Yeah.
Because you're getting that energy and that vibe.
Yeah.
And...
Have you did a scene with someone, right? Mm-hmm. And then had a girl hit you up afterwards talking crazy?
No.
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 You've never had, like, a partner outside of work?
No.
Just jealous, like...
I mean, I don't know. Maybe no one's hit me up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't, like, once we leave the set,
mm-hmm.
that's where it ends.
That's where
it,
okay. Know?
So it's not like.
Has anything more led on after?
I mean, yeah, with a couple of people, but for the most part, once we're done, it's okay. like, okay, cool. Like,
gotcha.
Give them a hug. That was awesome. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
See you on set next time.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you keep it very professional.
Sometimes you just have chemistry with someone. Like, right. you know, where it's like, oh, this is like. This could be more than just
mm-hmm.
an on-set thing.
Now, like, how do you know that? Because you're not really talking with them first. You're just fucking them first, yeah. right?
Yeah. It's just a vibe. You just feel it. Like, uh-huh. you can feel someone's energy, like, when you're really getting along and, like, uh-huh. they're making you laugh. And it's just, I don't know, it's hard to break it down. Mm. It's just...
Do you think a lot of times, you know, like, outside of... for people, it takes a lot more time to get comfortable with someone for them to have sex,
people right. outside of
yeah
yeah
what could they take from just doing scenes where it just makes it easy for you guys to just right away?
It depends what's holding the person back.
I feel like not being comfortable with another person, but you seem very comfortable in any setting.
Yeah,
I kind mean, of
Yeah, but I still get nervous sometimes. Like if I'm on a date with someone, I get more nervous off set.
Oh.
Like on set that I'm not nervous at all.
Yeah.
On set it's easy. You know what you're there to do. You know you're gonna get fucked. Like it's not even a question.
Mm.
It's off set where I would have more nerves. I'd be like, oh my gosh, are we gonna fall around? Are we gonna fuck? Like what are we gonna do? And then I'm gonna be like, but yeah. I kind of lean into that discomfort. Like it doesn't, just because I have sex all the time doesn't mean I don't get uncomfortable around people.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Maybe being uncomfortable is the wrong word. It's just like nervous and excited.
Exciting energy. Yeah. Gotcha. Let's take it back to the awards, right? What was your favorite scene of that year, 2018?
I'm definitely going to say my boy-girl scene.
What was it?
Manuel.
With the
cream pie. Yeah, Manuel Ferreira.
What made it so...
It was...
How long was it?
It was like an hour.
Of just different positions?
Just like pure passionate fucking. Mm. And then it went on like we finished fucking.
Yeah.
And then for like 20 minutes afterwards, we just held each other and I was crying.
Crying?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it just felt so good. Like the release was just so intense.
Really?
Yeah.
Crying like a happy cry.
Yes, happy tears of absolute release and just of experiencing something so beautiful.
In that scene, was there still like, all right, I'm fucked for like 10 minutes and then cut?
No cutting. Wow. It is just pure gonzo. Like the camera starts and we just go for it.
It just lights and then the three different cameras and then
one camera, floating camera, gonzo following us. Like we were fucking on the couch and we moved to the table and the camera operator just followed us.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So what did he do right?
Everything. If you ask almost any female performer what who their favorite male performer is, they're going to say Manuel. Like Manuel Ferrara. Yeah, Ferrara. They're going to say him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just tell everyone to study his work. He's intimate and he's passionate, but he's not boring. So okay. He can be very sensual and romantic and then switch it up and be like more aggressive and rough. He sort of has this sense of where the line is for women.
Okay.
Or at least I should say from my experience. Right. If you're like, be fucking me slow and sensual and then suddenly start like choking me and fucking me hard. He knows or has this sense of where the boundary is of how hard he can choke before it's too much. And he never crosses that boundary.
How does he know when to switch up the vibe?
Well, that's a question for him. I don't know. I think I think he's present in the moment. I think a lot of people when they fuck, especially I noticed this even off camera,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you even here? Hello? People are in their own head when they're fucking someone else.
Okay.
Like you need to be in the space between the two people.
In the space between, what was it?
So like, okay, if you're fucking a girl mm-hmm. and all you're thinking about is the sensation of her pussy on your you have no idea what's going on for the girl. Like you have no idea. You're just in your head thinking about the feeling.
Mm.
You need to be like looking at her, looking in her eyes, trying to feel what she's feeling.
Mm.
Like looking at her eyes, looking at the way her body's moving.
Are we talking, baby, do you like how's this feel?
That's yeah.
So are you communicating?
You don't I mean it right. could be verbal.
Uh-huh.
Or it could just be looking at the body language. There's mm-hmm. a lot that can be learnt and seen just through watching the way someone's body is moving. Is she receptive or is mm-hmm. she kind of pulling away? Is she moving closer? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cues just in the way someone's moving.
Was there ever a time where, you know, you told them, hey, like, let's do doggy now. Flip me.
No. Like verbally? Yeah. No. I mean, no.
So how do you guys know when to switch positions? Or did he take the lead?
He's definitely a leader when it comes to sex.
Right.
So I could certainly guess that he took the lead on that one. Right. But you also just get a sort of sense for when is a right time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I will say as performers, we have a sense of when it's time to take over. So what I mean by that is it's actually a lot of physical work for you to fuck on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see when my male talent has been fucking me for a long time and it's time for them to lay down and let me do the fucking.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it's just rude to be like, I want you to do all the work.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a sense, like, I know, I don't even have to think about it at this point because I've been doing it for so long. I just know when, okay, my turn to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
My turn to take over. My turn to take some of the...
The load off, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's some male talent that won't let you. They have so much energy and they just want to dominate and it's like, okay, well, cool.
You just let them do them?
Yeah. Let them do their thing. But yeah, for a lot of male talent, it's like...
Gotcha.
You can see them starting to sweat or starting to...
Yeah. Wow, an hour.
Yeah.
Was there some time, you know, he pulled it out and you were just...
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just watch the scene.
Yeah, pull it up.
How many videos you think you've shot over there?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Hundreds, thousands.
Not thousands.
Uh huh.
But probably close to 1,000.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah.
This one.
That one right there. Yeah.
I like that. Everything in between, like.
Yeah.
I could see why now.
Yeah, he's great. So he's like intimate and passionate, and you didn't see much of his like more aggressive side, but it is in there. There's ebbs and flows.
Waves.
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah. Manuel.
Manuel. Well, I don't know. Yeah. What the fuck?
There is another guy called Michael Stefano, who's like amazing as well.
All right. What's his name? Owen Gray?
Owen Gray's great.
Yeah. He's very aggressive.
He can be. He's another guy that like will kind of switch from passionate to more aggressive. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of girls talk about Owen Gray.
They love him.
He's a
female favorite.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me go back to my questions. Tell me about your most interesting shoots. Like that one time you went to Japan.
Yeah.
How was that?
I love Japanese men.
Yeah?
I love the way they fuck.
Mm.
I love it. Like, they are so sensual.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I could have sworn, like, Asian guys, like, especially in porn, I just see them just fucking jackrabbiting. No?
At least what I shot wasn't like that at all.
Okay.
Yeah. We did this full soap house thing, and it was all like, I mean, that one was more me being sensual with them, like, covered in soap and, like, washing them. That was hot. But they have a very different style of shooting as well. Like, they had specific requests about how they wanted me to act and what they wanted me to do. So they were like, no loud moaning, no spitting.
No spitting. Okay. And did they, like, blur?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
Is it? It's a good part, but is it the best part? Maybe for you? It can be your best part. I'm just...
No, if I'm, like, overall, no. Yeah. Overall, I like blow-dry POVs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For
me, the best part is the connection. Like, if you can see a real connection between the two performers, that, to me, is the best part. Like, the bits, whatever. Everyone's got bits.
Right. I mean, you know, if I'm not just the most stereotypical guy... Yeah, I like pussy.
Okay. You can. It's valid.
Yeah.
Totally valid.
No. But it was... Okay, they blur that out. But what about... What else? They make you like... High-pitched moan.
They wanted me to be very submissive. It was very specific. Do not spit. I'm like, I'm not going to spit. It's fine. Even the makeup, they made me look more submissive. They
toned down your features?
They actually, like, did the eyeliner so my eyes were kind of coming downward. So I kind of looked more sad.
Huh.
Yeah. Like, they didn't want me to be a powerful woman dominating. They just wanted me to.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, I'm here to immerse myself in the culture. So I'm going to give you what you want. And I had a lot of fun. That I actually did a consensual non-consent scene.
Yeah. Right.
And That was really interesting. I actually loved it. For my job, I have to be so active all the time. Like like when I'm riding, like you ride for a lot longer than what you do like at home. Like you actually have to like put in the physical work. So I'm always being active. Like even my blowjobs are active. Right. Everything's active. And like in this consensual non-consent scene, it was like, well, they really wanted me to act like I was not cool with what was going on.
Well, you got to put up a fight then, no?
Well, a little bit of a fight, but then give in.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so I was...
And then just lay there?
Yeah. So I was tied up and I could just lay there and I was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. So I really got off on that. And also, like, I didn't have to say anything because I was gagged for a lot of the time. Yeah. So I literally just was able to be tied up and lay there and not say a thing. Although it was, they did some interesting things. Like, they put Q-tips in my asshole.
Like, just in there for what?
The English translation wasn't very good. But they asked if they could do that in the scene. I'm like, okay, sure. I guess that... they did it because it's sort of like, I don't know, maybe it's like a humiliation thing or something. It's like, no, I'm like violating you, so I'm gonna do something. Or maybe he was just kinky, I don't know. But yeah, so he put Q-tips in my butthole.
Interesting.
While he fucked me. Yeah.
Anything else of that nature?
No, I think that was the most interesting thing that they did. Yeah. The only thing I was sad about was that I really wanted to do tentacle porn, like desperately, and we didn't get to do it. They just wanted to do regular porn with me, and I was like, regular Q-tips in my butt, you know?
What would be like they had tentacles?
Yeah, you've seen tentacle porn,
right? And like hentai, like when it's animated.
Yeah, no, they do it. They have like these like gooey
real life.
No, but not like actual animal tentacles. Sure. Like they've made them.
Right. Okay.
And then they all like.
Did you see them?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I wish I had. I really, really wanted to do it.
Right.
I was hoping they would book me for that, but no.
Maybe now with the technology, they could like 3D animate some shit.
Yeah, but I want like literally, I want them to. I don't know how they created them, but you know they've got these like little.
Tentacles, have a spread eagle.
Yeah, and they had like goo all over it, so they must use like some sort of spunk lube. Or maybe they used the Neurogel, because you know how the Neurogel is really sticky?
Right, yeah.
But yeah, you can look it up online. Yeah. There's all these tentacles and like all the goo covered, and the girl is like getting violated by the tentacles.
No, I mean,
I would.
You can still make it happen.
Yeah.
No, like the world's opening back up. You know, we're gonna make a trip back to Japan.
That's a thing I want to do. I would like to do.
That's on the bucket list. Yeah. Get some goo and tentacles.
Yeah.
Love to see that. Okay, so that's one of your stories. Now I know about this. Is there any that I don't know about?
I shot my first boy girl in the Bahamas. That was really cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I shot a lot of stuff in beautiful tropical locations, which was awesome. Nothing crazy interesting happened. It was just great to be able to travel and go to the beach. I did do a shoot in Eleuthera on like this kind of like one end of the island is called Gunpoint, which is like this kind of famous getaway spot for celebrities. I think it's Celine Dion's favorite getaway spot. So you have like a big mansion, all these private beaches. I think like Churchill even used to stay there a lot. Like it's like whatever fancy. So we shot scenes there, so that was cool, except for the no-see-ums. So we were shooting on the beach, these beautiful white sand beaches, clear water, gorgeous scenery. And then the no-see-ums just bit my body to pieces. It was awful.
The what?
No-see-ums.
What's that?
So they're like little sand fleas. And you can't see them. That's why they're called no-see-ums.
Yeah.
And whenever like a bug bites me, my skin just reacts really badly. Like I basically get hives. I blow up. So I had like a week on this island.
Yeah.
Supposed to be looking hot in a bikini, and I've got polka dots all over me.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was really
bad. Oh shit. Okay.
It was bad. So
a little allergic reaction.
Well, all the girls actually had. I mean, mine was the worst just because, like I said, I have sensitive skin. Yeah. But all the girls were just bitten from head to toe. Damn.
This is why I don't trust places.
Any places
ever. I mean, no. This is why I don't trust, like just nature sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe tropical places, maybe forests. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't trust forests sometimes, you know? Yeah. Also, like, in China, when I go back to the village, I just... you know, and they got to make me walk through different jungles. And
what are you afraid is going to happen?
It's shit like this, you know, like just wildlife. I don't trust wildlife.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I trust wildlife more than I trust humans.
What? Yeah, it's humans being dirt bikes.
I'd rather be in the forest than on the freeway. I feel like I've got a greater chance of survival.
Yeah, especially this freeway. Yeah. No. If we're in LA, no, maybe wildlife is better. What do you think is your worst experience doing, or like, like that's up there, right? Getting, you know, fleas.
Biting all over my body.
Yeah,
that sucked. I do remember one scene, actually, where I almost cried.
Now, this is a bad cry. You had
a bad cry. Yeah, a bad cry. So I was really excited to work with this new performer, or I say new to me. Like, he had been in the industry for a long time, but I had never shot with him.
Yeah.
And before I would book talent, because I was booking talent for my own production, to my own website, my own DVD line, so I got to choose. So I would do my market research, which is just me looking at a bunch of their porn and masturbating to it. So I did my market research on him, and I like watched the way, because I have to look at the people that I'm working with, because if I don't like the way they fuck, or I don't like their attitude, or if I see something in their scenes I'm like, no, then I won't shoot with them. So I watched all his scenes and I was like, ooh, yeah, like he's hot, like he knows how to fuck. I'm so excited. And anyway, I guess he had watched my scenes too, and I'd done a lot of scenes with Manuel at the time. And he arrived on set and we were flirting and everything was going well, and then we started fucking and he was pulling out all these Manuel moves, and I was like, oh my god, what's happening? Like, what's happening? This is not what I signed up for. I signed up to fuck you. Like, signed up to fuck you. And so, like,
was it apparent that he wasn't being himself?
Yes. Completely. Like, he was trying to impress me and be someone else, and I was just like, oof. Like, I actually had to have a break and go upstairs and be like, oh my gosh, like, what the hell is that? Because it was, the reason it upset me so much was because he wasn't connecting with me. Like, he was trying to be someone else. He was trying to pull all these moves. I booked him so I could have sex with him. And I was just like overwhelmed with emotions, because I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, please be, because when somebody's not connecting with you in sex, it makes you feel like you're just a body, because it's like, are you here with me?
Right.
And if you're not here with me, what are we doing? Like,
is it from the eye contact?
The eye contact is the main thing.
Yeah.
But it's not just eye contact. Sometimes you can't, like in doggy, you might not be able to see their eye contact. It's, eye contact is the most important. But yeah,
stay with me.
Stay with me.
Sometimes it's just like, they're just looking at the pet.
If they're just looking at their dick, or they're just thinking about their dick, I'm like, okay, so I'm not even in the picture right now. Cool. I'm a fleshlight. I already have a fleshlight. They could buy that. And like the way I just, that's a little plug.
Right. Buy the Angela White fleshlight. You know, it's up now on angelawhite.com. For $3.99. There you go. We got the plug in there.
So I don't want to be a fleshlight. Buy my fleshlight.
Right.
Fuck my fleshlight like that.
Right, actually, you could use promo code Jimmy Zang for 15% off the Angela White fleshlight.
Fuck my fleshlight like that. You don't have to, like, you don't have to flirt with my fleshlight.
No.
You don't have to buy my fleshlight dinner.
You don't
have to ask permission to come in my fleshlight. You could do whatever the fuck you want to my fleshlight. But if you're fucking me, please be with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much does a fleshlight go for?
It's around $80, I want to say. I think, I usually have like promo codes and stuff for people.
Now, when they make fleshlights out of, you know, a porn star's vagina, how do they accurately mold it?
I'm so glad you asked this question. Unfortunately, they can't mold the actual inside. So what they do, so the outside is molded. So the actual, the entrance to the fleshlight is my vulva.
Whoa.
So what they do is they flew me out to Austin. That's where they have their headquarters.
Yeah.
And you have to get naked. Well, you can just get naked from the waist down.
Sure.
Better just to get naked.
Right. Just open up the zipper.
You have to kind of, you have to be spread eagled. And the thing is, the vulva looks different when it's turned on than when it's in a state of rest. So you actually have to masturbate before they mold you. Mm. So they have an array
you just
of toys.
You just go to a room.
No, and, I literally am in the room. They will leave the room. Sure. But I don't care.
How do the normal people just like, you want me to leave or?
It's part of the job, you know. Like they're about to paint my vulva with this sticky goo. They're gonna see it up close, whatever.
Yeah,
they've seen. I'm sure they've seen almost.
They do that
every,
for a living. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I held a Hitachi, but they didn't want me to come because once you come, then you're. Vulva sort of goes back into a state of rest, so you want it to be as engorged as it possibly can be. So
you're there getting really
turned on. I'm getting like
on.
I'm edging,
and homie edging. Is just right there,
ready, ready with the goo to paint. So I'm like got a Hitachi on my clit, like edging, like getting close to coming and pulling off. And me like, okay, I'm putting my. Like engorging my labia.
It's kind of funny. Right?
Yeah. So when I'm like to the edge where I'm like, I cannot continue or I'm gonna come, then they get this like sticky, gooey stuff and they paint it on your vulva. Oh. And then as it it's gooey to begin with and it slowly hardens. And as it hardens, it heats up.
I see.
So it actually feels fucking amazing because obviously I want to do this tentacle stuff with all the goo. Sure, so right. I've just had some stranger paint goo on my vulva and it's hardening and getting hot. So for me, I'm just like, this is amazing.
Right. I'm curious, who are these people that you know, that just ended up in this line of work? You make conversation with them before?
Yeah, a little. I mean, they're just regular people that
paints vagina.
Yeah. They're not painting vaginas. They're making a mold.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That just happens to be of...
Cool.
And they do my butthole as well.
Oh.
But yeah. So I...
That one, they just do it, right?
They just do it. Yeah, I didn't have to masturbate for that. Right. But I did anyway.
This is just for the fuck of it.
Just in case it engorged a little different, you know?
See?
I'm a professional.
Like you, Angela. You put your best foot forward... everywhere.
Yeah. You've got to be professional and do the best job you can no matter what you're doing.
Definitely.
So yeah, that was fun. And then they kind of take that, they make the impression and they have to do like a negative impression. Well, that's the negative. And then they make another impression. That's how they make the mold. So they can't mold the inside. So they have like, they've created an inside that's as realistic, as lifelike to the inside canal, the vagina.
Gotcha.
As it can be. And then, so that's my regular fleshlight. But then I have two other fleshlights. One's called the Indulge and one's called the Entice. And the insides of those are enhanced. So instead of being like, so the vaginal canal.
It's got little washes on the inside.
Yeah, it's got like little, like, its own little tentacles and stuff. Just for enhanced pleasure. So you can get the original, what the vagina would feel like. Mm. And then you can get the, imagine if we could make a vagina how we want it. I don't know. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've always wondered. It all looks the same to me, right?
On the outside?
Well, I just see it on shelves. I'm like,
oh, you mean the fleshlight?
Yeah. It's like a black thing, and then the.
Well, if you look on the side of the box, you'll see like it'll give you it'll show you what the inside looks like. So it might just be kind of straight, which is sort of like a regular woman's vaginal canal, or it might have like little tentacles.
Who's really here returning the package? Hey, this wasn't like Angela's. You know, who's really?
Well,
there's people.
No. Not that I know of. I mean, everyone's been quite satisfied with my vagina. And there's also like a, on the back end, there's like a little suction cup so you can make it tighter or looser depending on what you're in the mood for.
You know, or like how big you are.
Exactly. Right. Or if you want to stamina train or...
Right, edge a little
have
bit.
Have a challenge, or you want to go for longer so you could like loosen it up, or if you want to just tighten it up.
Right, it's like this isn't even just for, you know, guys who are down bad. Like if you just want to practice sex, you could have one.
Yes.
Use it.
It's stamina training unit.
Yeah, stamina training unit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions about. So, Gabe, not too long ago, he went to this orgy party.
Oh yeah.
Can we talk about it?
Can we talk about it?
Okay. Have you been to those?
Not really an orgy party. I've been to like BDSM parties before.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't an orgy party. It was like a BDSM lifestyle party.
So it wasn't really like everybody's fucking around
you? No. Like a lot of people were like getting whipped or, yeah, you know, doing like power play and stuff like that. But sure. No one was fucking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? Never?
Me never been to a sex party?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I do porn. It's sort of like I have sex parties every day. I've done a number of gangbangs, a number of orgies. Right. So, yeah.
But those are specifically for scenes, like never for like personally.
I mean, I had one gangbang, like outside of porn.
Okay.
I've done one gangbang. But yeah, no, I haven't. Have I? Oh, I guess I've done some orgies outside of porn. But yeah, I've never been to an orgy party.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I should just go. I should go to one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant go like you're gonna leave now. I was like,
okay. No. I'm...
Was the question that embarrassing that you can't ask it?
No, definitely not.
What were you gonna ask? Not that I can tell you because I haven't been to one, but I can try and.
If I was in that kind of environment, right, it would be a lot going on. How do you get turned on like immediately? That's my biggest thing, right?
Yeah. It's you don't think you'd see two people fucking and get turned on?
It depends. Like I feel like I tread on the border of like whoa
and too
like
much?
Not even too much. It's like, oh, they're really doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not used to just seeing people fucking just my day to day, right?
Maybe so, it's about going to it a couple of times, like not participating the first time, just
yeah.
Being a voyeur,
a spectator,
and then maybe.
And then it's not only that, it's like, that's just one, but maybe having it all around me. Maybe at first it could just be like, I'm like overloaded with, you know, it's like more of a spectacle than.
Maybe you should go with someone that you're fucking or that you want to fuck.
Yeah.
So then you could like just focus on one person. There could be a bunch of people fucking around you.
Right.
But you could have your focus. So yeah. You can hear other people moaning and, you know, being that energy and that vibe, but you're focused.
Yeah.
So then you're not too distracted by so much going on.
Right. Okay. So now we're gonna do a segment where we're gonna give the people some advice and pointers.
Okay.
In your experience, what has been like the biggest performance anxiety for guys?
Well, for me, obviously, they kind of get freaked out about the fact that I'm Angela White, and they start thinking about how many guys are fucked and guys with big dicks and guys who are really skilled, and they think, am I going to be big enough? Am I going to be skilled enough? Mm-hmm. So that's probably, at least in my experience,
gotcha.
The anxiety.
How do you ease in? How do you ease them into?
To fucking me?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, how do I make them feel comfortable?
I guess, yeah, because let's just say that, like, oh, it's Angela Way, it's da da da. Are they not getting hard, or what's going on?
Sometimes that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a guy will get so in his head, like, mm-hmm. he'll just freak himself out and not be able to get hard.
What do you do in that?
Do you? There's nothing you can do. Just be like, oh, that's cool. You know, it is what it is. Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be mad about it.
Yeah.
There's been situations before where I've worked with new male talent that have freaked out and just not been able to get hard because they're just so overwhelmed by the fact that, well, they also can get in their head about, oh, this is a big opportunity for me. I'm working with Angela White. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm new in the biz, so I need to perform my best. And so then all of those pressures actually affect their wood. Mm. So what I usually do is I will take them into another room, like away from the crew, and just try and connect with them one-on-one. Like, I will just say, don't think about the crew. Just be here with me right now.
Yeah.
Always about bringing someone back to the present moment. Wow. Just touch them in ways that I think they'd like to be touched. Just like soothing them, calming them down.
Yeah.
Like, reminding them that, you know, we're just two people,
mm-hmm.
like trying to get each other off.
Yeah.
Usually that will work.
Gotcha.
But then sometimes, so they'll end up with a raging hard on in the other room, and then I walk them back out in front of the crew, and it'll.
Really?
Yeah. That doesn't happen that often, though.
Yeah.
But it has happened.
What about in your personal life? Has there been any?
Not really.
No.
Okay. Not really.
Bing bong. Bye. Oh, wait.
Is that how you're ending
it? No. No, make sure to follow Angela on her Twitch and on her YouTube and on all
the
of
two
her
things that I haven't really done anything with. But I do have them. And on, Twitter.
And Twitter.
At Angela White. Well, I just made out with your microphone. At Angela White on Twitter and at the Angela White
on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that is all. And then, you know, maybe buy her a fleshlight.
Yeah. You'll enjoy it. You can do whatever you want to it.
Whatever.
Whatever you want.
No.
Hey, it was for them.
No. Okay. I'm taking that one.
Why'd you put it there? Okay. You could have put it anywhere. You fucked up. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You have another one?
Why, what are you going to do with it? You're saving that one for later.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.